Party started.
I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. About 2 minutes late, apologies on that. And then we will go ahead and do a roll call, correct?
Yes.
So Winder is not here, absent. Nathan here. Steve?
Here.
Dan?
Here.
Tammy is absent. And then McCartney?
Here.
Rick Ritter?
Here.
Diane?
Here.
Craig?
I'm here.
Todd?
Here.
And Ashley?
Here, thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and have a motion to confirm the amended agenda. Is that right?
It's the one that's separate, yes.
And a roll call on that as well. Nathan? Steve?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Rob?
Aye.
Rick?
Aye.
Diane?
Aye.
Trey?
Aye.
As well. And then have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
That was perfect.
Rob, okay, and then we have a roll call.
Who has the motion in the second? I'm sorry.
Trey didn't actually make.
So we'll just assume that he did.
And we have Dan and Steve actually voted.
Okay.
So they second.
Okay.
And a roll call on that as well. So Steve?
I'm an aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Rob?
Aye.
Rick?
Aye.
Diane?
Aye.
Trey?
Aye.
I'm an aye as well. Okay, so then I think we're all the way to
Scott
already. Legislative update.
So thank you. Good news this morning, Scott.
Well, I have bad news, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's maybe a good way to start. When we spoke last, we talked about the stadium bill that has been done, the legislation that requires a vote of the electorate if you're going to spend any money on urban renewal projects that involve municipal buildings and everything associated there, or if you're going to build a multi-stadium sports complex. So that got out of the House side. They voted on it before. Not a lot of opposition, there were 10 votes against it. It's on the Senate side now, and at least in some early discussion, conversations with the chairman of the Senate committee, I don't think he's inclined to give the bill a hearing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing or it's not a good thing. I think a few of the problems that exist with the perception out there, if the city of Boise and CCDC move forward, some variation of a plan that uses a lot of money to either build a library or a stadium. I think there's ramifications beyond that for urban renewal. I think if it does get passed right now as it's written, anything that urban renewal districts would want to spend money on that fall within those categories would be subject to a vote. So one of the big topics that came up on the House side is setting thresholds, so minimum thresholds, trying to amend the bill. So if a district wants to spend $10,000 on planter boxes that are going to facilitate one of these disallowed items without a vote, they would be able to do that without a vote. And the thought being that there are some things that some projects should be able to utilize dollars from urban renewal districts without a vote of the public. So there's been a discussion of the last several days, well, let's amend the bill. Threshold in there, say $250,000 or $500,000, so that these districts aren't required to go out and get a vote if there's streetscape improvements or something that's, I think, within the normal and usual areas that a district might spend money on without having to get a vote of 55% of the people. So it'll be interesting to see if that discussion really, you know, sticks and if the Senate committee and chairman are interested in allowing the bill to be heard to put an amendment like that in there. I think there would be more support for this legislation if they could establish some thresholds, some minimums. And we did have that discussion. That discussion was had, however, prior to this bill getting heard, and the sponsors didn't want to do that. One of the sponsors now does want to do that. Anders, he's actually kind of open to it because he'd rather see something compromised go forward than the whole thing die. One of the other primary backers, Representative Moyle, is not in favor of minimums threshold. So I think we'll have a few more days to really see what might take shape with it, and if there's going to be some willingness to put some thresholds in there that give districts the ability to spend some money to help with these projects. So that's kind of where it is at the moment.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, you asked for Joe Borton to give a legal opinion on the current language, and Joe has concerns regarding the way that infrastructure is defined. And basically says that anything that we would do in terms of projects potentially like the 9 Mile floodplain issue in terms of putting in those type of infrastructure means could be perceived as public projects and then would therefore be a vote would be needed. And so I think our concern at this point is I think we support the bill in theory as long as it does no harm to, you know, the work that we do. However, if we were to have to go to a vote for a project like that, that certainly is an issue for us because that is a very important project and that is part of the role of urban renewal. So Scott asked me last week, he said, if there were to be, you know, a threshold, what would MDC be comfortable with, a half million, a quarter million? And so I think that's something that may be, assuming there may actually be some traction on putting some thresholds in, I'd like the board to have a discussion on what we would be comfortable with just so we have Scott to be prepared should he be asked that question directly.
And I think also with Joe's concerns, valid concerns, if there is an attempt to amend the bill, we would address what his concerns
sure.
were as well as trying to better clarify infrastructure and how it gets applied to our districts and such. So he raised some legitimate points, and so we would address those in any amendment as well. So clearly the dollar amount. At one point in earlier years, that dollar amount was $1 million. That's what it used to be. And we did ask if they would consider putting that in there again this time, and they didn't want to. And so this primarily, guys, it's directed at the stadium issue. That's the issue. And Ashley was at the hearing on the House side. It was probably one of the more bizarre hearings I've been to in a lot of years in the teens on this, because you had literally polar opposites coming out in support of something, which is typically how you know if you've got something that's good. But yeah, you know, liberal Boise State professors and just that coming out in support of, and you've got the taxpayers that are coming out of Canyon County that have always supported this. So you have a really odd mix of support, and I think it speaks to the polarization of what perceptions are. It was really interesting, but I do think that given the chance to make changes to the bill, we can put thresholds in, clarify infrastructure, but it, you know, we'll see how the chairman feels. Previously, he's declined to meet with us, even though we're neutral on the bill, which is kind of odd. So I, in theory, have a meeting at 1 o'clock today. We'll see if the polls when he sees who's on his calendar. So doesn't bother me, but at any rate, we'll see how that goes and where that ends up. And if it doesn't go anywhere and legislation just dies, I mean, you know, nothing's changed for NBC. My personal opinion is, and I don't do this often, my personal opinion is if this legislation doesn't go forward, I think enough attention has been brought to it that it would be insane for the city of Boise to move forward and spend whatever money. light that's been, you know, shining on this. I can't see him doing that right now. But I guess you never know. So, that's where it is. Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair, sorry. who's the chairman?
Mr. Chairman, so the chairman of the Senate committee is Senator Rice from Caldwell.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the city of Nampa, the mayor and city council all wrote a letter supporting and applauding the legislation. I don't think Caldwell, mayor is, I'm not sure, but the Association of Cities is very opposed to it. And so you do get these, you know, you get a split from time to time from associations and individual members. I suspect he'll be more happy to sit down and visit, especially since our concerns are if you do move forward and if there is an opportunity to make some improvements, we'd like to be able to get part of that.
Mr. Chairman, Scott, where does Meridian Development Corporation rank in terms of tax increment for urban renewal districts around the state? Our tax increment is what, actually, something like $1.4 million this year.
Something like that.
Obviously, you know, the big elephant in the room is Boise's CCDC, right? With their multi-millions that they can raise. Are we like the norm? Are we high or low in this ranking of all urban renewal districts around the state? Because if we're going to talk about a threshold amount, you know, we could make it $500,000. We're not going to make it $10 million because we don't make that. We don't make $2 million. So where do we rank? And, you know, I think all of the, from what I saw in the vote, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was basically Boise versus the rest of the state. And the rest of the state are small districts like us.
Mm-hmm.
So where would we rank in all of that? Do you have any idea, or does Ashley have an idea?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we're actually one of the lower ones.
We're
one of the lowest ones. We would be, I would say, in the bottom third for urban renewal districts. Idaho Falls is actually pretty significant, as is Caldwell and Nampa.
The older, bigger cities.
Where they actually had industrial land to be able to redevelop. And we got caught in a recession as well, too. During the time that we would have been accruing much more in increment, we were caught in that time frame. You know, between the two districts this year, we're probably going to have about 1.7 to 1.8 million, and that puts us on the lower end.
Yeah. And this downtown district sunsets in about six or seven years.
2026.
So we're not in a position where we're going to be, you know, encumbering multi-millions of dollars in debt.
But Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would keep in mind some of the projects that we do have in mind before we sunset for the downtown district, and the 9 Mile Floodplain Infrastructure Project is one of those. While the city will have to take the lead on this in terms of the infrastructure and in pursuing the federal grants that would pay up to 75% of those improvements, we're probably looking at MDC's contribution probably being around $500,000 to maybe $750,000. And so I think that's something that we just need to be mindful of and not box ourselves, you know, into a corner.
And I think that should be one of our determiners in terms of if we're going to recommend a threshold,
sure,
that it's reasonable for us and obviously for any other smaller,
sure,
district that wants to do something. The other thing, Scott, the bill that you showed us at our last meeting was a very bare bones description of a bill. I mean, it had a lot of gray areas, just as Joe alluded to. And one of the things that it said in there was that the city, that urban renewal districts could do infrastructure. And see, I would consider 9 Mile Plain an infrastructure. That isn't a building. It isn't something you're going to reside in, that you're going to park in, that you're going to live in. It's infrastructure. So I think the bill had a lot of gray areas. I would think that it should probably be tied up for one good reason, and that is not to have everything go into the courts to make a decision.
Yes.
That would be my concern. So I think that we need to just come up with an amount and thing, if that bill does go through, this is what we think the threshold should be.
I'm looking for a chart, actually, I'm not ignoring there. I've got a chart from the Associated Taxpayers that would help answer that in terms of the overall renewal impact over the last couple of years. And what's been interesting about that is, the amount of property taxes, the amount of TIF that has increased and how, you know, the shift off of the property tax rules and how that's been, it's been a pretty significant increase. And so what happens is when policymakers, lawmakers see these types of shifts, and I want to say it's between, you know, 5 to 15%, it's been pretty steep. So when policymakers start seeing this, they go, well, wait a minute. So these are now, you know, tax dollars that are no longer available for services that have once been provided. And so it does create this ongoing dialogue, right, with the legislature. That's just the reality of it. And so typically when we see these types of bills, it's a reaction to a couple of things. Most legislation is always reactionary. A lot of it is, and some of it is perspective. But I think in this case, this is designed to be more reactionary to what's been happening. I'm trying to, and it does affect primarily Boise, but there are other areas. For example, I took a call last night from Idaho Falls, from a business owner in Idaho Falls, who said, so how would this impact, you know, the city's talking about building a new police station using urban renewal dollars. So that's already, you can't do that. You know, that got fixed a couple of years ago. So there's a lot of areas out there that still are trying to understand what's in the law and how you can use it. And so I think as far as Meridian, though, it's like Ash said, pretty low down. You're the pay as you go. And most districts don't do bond. You know, there are very few that do that. So that's been the issue, is trying to address this perceived gap and, you know, what's happening. Lawmakers seeing it after the fact, trying to catch up. And then if it's their situation, they respond. And ambiguity sometimes is, you know, your friend when it comes to this type of stuff, because the more specific you get, you know, the more problematic it can get. But on the other hand, it's also a little bit of a challenge as well, trying to define that.
Scott, I'm curious, what was your reaction to that? The information provided by the Association of Urban Renewal Districts, their rationale. What was your take on that?
Mr. Chairman, I think there's some logic to it. I mean, I think because we don't have the ability in Idaho to truly have an economic development incentive portion of our law because of how our constitution is structured, how we incur debt. That economic development piece got modeled really after how Utah does theirs, because 5 or 6 years ago, you know, we spent time looking at how Utah structured. But fundamentally, they're different at the core on how they're able to assess taxes, right? They don't have the same constraints Idaho has. And if anybody asks about a constraint, I think it's a good thing, right? You can't go out and just raise taxes without a vote. So there are some fundamental differences. But I think in general, the concerns they raise, they're fair. They're legitimate concerns as far as how this could impact districts. And I think addressing the minimum thresholds would resolve a lot of their concern. Everyone likes to say, well, you know, if this would have been in place, then we never would have built Chobani, which is the big, you know, poster child in Twin Falls. I don't know, maybe it's hard to say. But I do think that there's a few legitimate issues that ought to be addressed. And you never get perfect piece of legislation or perfect law, but you can certainly try. And I think that's what they're trying to do. So
would you recommend that we come up with a threshold amount to present? Is that the issue right now?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I think if we're able to get an audience and have this bill heard with the intent of changing it, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have some direction from NBC on what you think an appropriate threshold would be, and how it, the level for Meridian that's comfortable. Everyone will have their own idea, but I think having that from NBC would be helpful.
Isn't it? Wouldn't it just be wise to have more clarity around infrastructure actually just being allowed in general for the no cap? Whereas if it's talking about distinctly public building, then you're probably talking about that $1 million cap. That seems kind of what it makes sense to me.
we could end up with more than $1 million projects of urban renewal. And if there's ever another urban renewal district in Meridian, I can only see those going up as it gets bigger and bigger. When you're talking roads and infrastructure improvements and things like that, it's hard to cap those.
So what the intent in the legislation that's being considered now is to restrict the ability to do the municipal buildings without a vote or the state now, but allow districts to provide infrastructure without any restrictions. Kind of poorly drafted, but that's kind of how it goes. These guys aren't. And when you write this down, it's hard to get. But the intent is to not restrict the ability to use as much money as required for infrastructure. So if you're going to build, you know, a facility and it's going to cost you $10 million and it's all legitimate infrastructure, there's no problem with that. That's what it's designed to do. So they were trying to bridge that gap, if you will, because initially people said, oh, well, I can't do municipal buildings, then that means I can't do infrastructure for it either. And the answer was, no, you can still do the infrastructure. They said, yeah, but it doesn't say it in here. Okay.
So and that's the issue.
Them. Yeah, but like we have the issue. Like, if you want to move a house,
yeah.
Is it infrastructure or is it a building?
Right. And so I would argue that with or without this statute that we're talking about, you can still do that.
Yeah.
Right. Infrastructure. Wow. You're,
so I think if we're trying to get any type of clarity, it's that we want that type of clarity.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, we don't want to fight on our hands because it's a building and a pump, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, yeah, I think you need a threshold in there of some type. Got no interest in building stadiums here.
So I'll, this thing will probably be done by next week, I'm sure, one way or the other. So if it doesn't go anywhere, it's not the end of the world. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. All eyes will be on the city of Boise at that point. But I think you'll have some more ruffled feathers on the House side. There are some pretty passionate Democrats on this issue that supported this, which was really interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
We'll see.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yep.
Scott, what kind of time frame are we talking about? I hear you recommending that a threshold would be something good as ammunition on your part to go in and have a discussion. What are we talking about?
By 12:30 today, if you have an idea. I have a meeting. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock.
On buildings.
Yeah. Infrastructure. So I have a meeting at 1 o'clock with the chairman. I'd like to, if I tell him we want to support, you know, minimum thresholds, he's going to ask me, well, what's your number?
Right.
I should probably be able to answer that. I think Ash and I have talked about it, just in general, kind of that $500,000 level.
Assuming that the infrastructure.
Yeah, well,
definition is clear.
Resolve the infrastructure. To clarify that, if you're anywhere between that $500,000, $2 million, we should be able to do all of our projects.
Sound good.
You guys good with recommending that? I don't think we need a motion. We're looking at, I mean, we probably prefer $1 million, but I'd probably try to bring that down. So the $500,000 to $1 million range is probably what we're pushing for, and clarity on what qualifies as infrastructure and what doesn't. They need to make sure they have that written well enough or loose enough to be able to get done what needs to be done.
Yeah, based on what Ashley told us about the 750,000 possibility for the mile floodplain.
Yeah, but a lot of that's infrastructure. So yeah. that wouldn't even hit the minimum threshold.
Except if they're questioning.
Yeah, that's the only issue.
We don't know. Yeah.
Right.
Got Joe's email still that I'll refer to as well.
Okay.
Do you want a motion on that, Nate?
I don't think we need to because it's really just
a recommendation,
not a discussion.
So I'll circle back with you, Ashley.
Yeah, this afternoon.
15,
good luck with that meeting.
See.
Good luck.
Wouldn't be the first time I've been told that. Can't have a meeting. Would be the first time I've heard from anybody. So.
Can you do anything?
Okay, thank you. Again, looks like
we checked Scott the moment that are pushing it. But I think no hearing means no hearing.
Okay. Sorry.
Item 6 for table until the winner is back, right?
Yeah, he's
prepared it.
He didn't Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I didn't find out until yesterday that Chairman Winder wasn't going to be able to be here, and unfortunately due to his back ongoing back issues, he said he had not had an opportunity to work on this. So I may push this off for a month just to make sure that he's back. And I know that he felt very strongly that he wanted to tackle this directly, so I will put this on the first meeting in April.
Sounds good. So we're going to table item 6, and that will bring us to item 7, which is consideration of approval of the low bid and notice of award to Brycon Construction for the Carlton Avenue downtown sidewalk project contingent on the reallocation of CDBG dollars by the City of Meridian in corresponding resolution 19-014. I think that puts you up.
I can talk about the notice of award and maybe you need to have more questions on the contingency part of it and the allocation of the dollars. Maybe Ashley can address that.
Sure.
But we had all of the bids submitted, as you know, that were above what we had potentially budgeted for it. The low bid was Brycon Construction at $352,245. What this does is approve Brycon as the low bid and authorize us to issue a notice of award to Brycon, which means we send them the contract, we issue a notice of award. They have, I think it's 7 or 10 days to get us signed copies of the contract back and get their other things in place. As far as insurance and their bid and perform or their performance and payment bonds, and then we would bring those documents back at the next meeting for signature by the board. But that contract, we added language in it that it's contingent upon the reallocation of dollars by the city. And if we get those, if the city reallocates those dollars, then we'll send them written notice of the fact and a notice to proceed. If we don't, we send them written notice that we didn't get the reallocation of the dollars, therefore the contract is null and void.
Yep. And is there any clarification, Ashley? We have everything set in place for those to be reallocated?
My understanding is, Mr. Chairman, that Crystal Campbell, who was at our last meeting, gave a brief update to the City Council a couple of weeks ago, and then didn't seem to get any sort of pushback on that idea, and my understanding is that is set for a later council date at this month to reallocate those formally. So that's the reason why there's the contingency. We needed to go ahead and act upon this today because the bids were only good for 45 days,
yep,
and they were due on January 31st. I did speak to Brycon. They are aware of the contingency. They agreed to the contingency. They understand the situation we're in because they've been a bidder twice for us. And so he's willing to work with us in this capacity. And as far as I know, I don't think there'll be an issue with the City Council from what I understand. And maybe Commissioner Brent could give us a little insight to that. Okay.
I did run into one of the other bidders that found out I was on MDC. But I will tell you that he did say we did the right thing in sending it back out in the winter. He said that was smart. So.
Mr. Chairman, I just wish the numbers had come in lower.
Yeah.
It helped a whole lot.
It helped a little bit. Yes. Save some taxpayers some money. All right. So without further ado, do you want to go ahead and read the resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's resolution 19-014, resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, accepting the bid from Brycon Inc. submitted for the East Carlton Area CDBG Sidewalk and Street Improvement Project, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and providing an effective date.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 19-014.
call vote on that? Dan, excellent. McCarville.
Aye.
Rick Ritter.
Aye.
Diane Bevan.
Aye.
Trey.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. The motion carries.
I move, do you find them?
You said after how many tries?
Sidewalks are hard.
Yeah, there's a typo. Can Becky redo that and send it to me?
With that, so we're gonna move on to item number eight, unless you guys have.
Sure, sorry, coordinating on something. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I tried really hard not to bring this back. I apologize for the Mason parking lot, the PC maintenance. If you'll recall, we had the original bid of $2,600 and change, and then I mentioned that the Masons wanted some changes to the bid, and I was authorized to be able to approve up to the $2,500 that my position allows. It came in just over that, so that's the reason why this is before the board. It was about $2,600 and change. So the Masons have approved this bid. They met with PC maintenance on site. I think we've addressed all their concerns with this bid. I know I met with Lori Jones yesterday for the Methodist Church. We're going to be able to get the trees removed and to address that issue. So without further ado, I guess, I would ask that we would approve this bid of $5,200 and change in order to be able to move forward with the resurfacing and the restriping of the Masons parking lot. We will be bringing back the parking agreement with the Masons because I think I mentioned the last go round, they would like a couple of spaces dedicated to the Masons 24/7, just for when they do have business during the daytime. I have not seen their specified location so that we can include that into the agreement, but I'll bring that back at a later date. I was pretty stern in my last conversation that this was kind of the last modification that I was taking to the board.
Yeah.
It's nice, but.
Yeah, it's kind of probably annoying jumping through all the hoops, but I said that kind of jokingly, but
no.
I drove to this parking lot yesterday to park there, and it was completely full, and mm-hmm. It's our cheapest, $5,000 for I don't even know how many spots it is. Good thing as long as they keep having us.
Sure. Actually, I'm kind of curious. They want to use it during the day for certain events. Do we know how that signage would work, or would it be just a temporary sign put out on that day that the parking is restricted to members only? Or?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Bassalone, there would be in the striping plan, they would be dedicated that way.
So certain spots would be dedicated?
Yes, that's what I'm waiting on from the Masons as to which two spots they would like.
But it would be all year?
Yes. Because sometimes they do have business during the day and they can't park in their own parking lot.
So we're talking about two spots?
That's my understanding at this time, is two spaces.
Because I wouldn't want us to spend $5,200 and then come and say, oops, we're not going to sign an extension and we got our parking lot fixed.
Understood.
Chairman, this is Resolution 19-015, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the revised scope of work with PC Maintenance for parking lot seal coating, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and providing an effective date.
Any discussion? Okay. to discussion items. Property in downtown committee update. That's your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of follow-up items from the discussions that we've had here. As you know, we combined the property committee and the parking committee. And one of the concerns that's been going around is that we've had a lot of board members. And first of all, I want to thank and appreciate everybody's desire, the willingness to continue to serve as a committee member, not just for those boards, but I guess all our boards. But the concern was that we almost had a quorum at some of our meetings, so we were going to restrict the participation from board members here on that committee to four. And the executive committee has brought that up, and we've kind of discussed that maybe the three executive board members and the mayor be the four people on that board at this time. And then everybody else would act in their other capacity on their subcommittees and stuff like that. So that's kind of direction that we're going with that. Just wanted to kind of bring that up to you guys and make sure you're okay with that. If that's okay, that's probably the representation that we have from this committee onto that property and parking committee.
You guys understand the dilemma, right? If we have a quorum,
we had a quorum, yeah.
Notice everything differently and change the whole process.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman and members of the board, it kind of defeated the purpose of having, you know, three-fourths of the board at a committee meeting. It allows this committee to vet project ideas and applications that come forth and work with applicants prior to presenting it to a full board as well, too. And we also looked at the other duties of the other committee or board members, and, you know, Rick is serving with the as our VRT representative. We have Diane and Rob as part of our PR committee as well. And I'm sure we'll have other special committees as they pop up. So we just felt like this was a good way to distribute responsibilities throughout the board. Absolutely, bring an updated list.
Other than that, that was the only update because we haven't had any other. I guess there's a couple things maybe coming across the board for the next meeting. So
the railroad is still railroading us.
We will, and we'll probably have a couple of facade improvement applications in front of us as well. So there's a lot of activity going on right now. So we will be keeping you busy, I think, moving forward.
How about the Old City Hall block development update?
This is kind of where we're going to do our PR committee update as well, too. We had a meeting on Monday with Natalie to talk about the idea of what the ceremony or whatever we haven't figured out the actual name of it, what we're going to call it. We're still shooting for the 18th of April. That would allow for the demolition to have occurred and mostly be cleared out. It would also allow for Josh to be able to make a couple of key announcements as to anchor tenants within the project as well, too, and we feel that that is incredibly important. We talked about the flow of the event. We want to keep it to 15 minutes to 20 minutes max. So it looks we're going to start as MDC being the master of ceremony. Then Mayor Tammy will say a few words, and then we want to honor Keith. And so the idea that Natalie had that I thought was really great, if we can do it, is to get a brick from one of the buildings and do some sort of engraving or plaque on it in order to commemorate it and to be able to give that to Marjorie at the event. And so we would have the mayor do that. We felt like she was the appropriate person to be able to do that. Have Josh give hopefully a scripted commentary. Oh no, we've talked about it. And then there's a couple of tenants that we think will be announced at that time that we would like to have them be able to say something for 30 seconds to a minute. Have Caleb from Pacific Companies kind of wrap it up with MDC closing out the ceremony. Given that one of the tenants is likely a restaurant, we're talking about having them provide some levels of appetizers. Thought that would be really great. So we're working on that. We purchased two cameras, one to put on top of City Hall, one to put on top of the Heritage Building in order to take a shot of day of the construction that happens. And so those came in last week. I've handed those off to Natalie. She's going to make sure that they work and get those all set up for us. We still have a number of follow-up meetings with Josh and Caleb on logistics, of course, but I think we're in a good place. Rob, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything that you're talking about. I think it's a good game. We completely vetted out who's going to talk, what the talking points should be. And with respect to Josh, as you said, it probably needs to be scripted. And we have a peek at it before we actually do the event.
Yes.
So we can keep them for a lot of time.
We figure he's going to have after parties. He can give his flowery speeches at that point.
Call it like a traditional kind of groundbreaking type thing. Just groundbreaking / building breaking.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Josh Everett's a good friend of mine. I don't know if the script is going to be give you guys any guarantee.
I know.
I know.
We're going to do everything we can, though. And then just a further update on just the status of the property, as you all saw, was transferred on the 28th, which was huge. It was kind of anticlimactic that day, but it was great. They are starting the environmental as we speak. And so I don't have a time frame that they're thinking of when the demolition permits will be pulled yet. Josh is working on getting me that tentative time frame. I assume it will probably happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks, but right now some of the stuff is still up in the air. And my plan is to have Josh and Caleb or whoever the appropriate representatives are from Pacific Company to be here at our next board meeting. We had agreed after every major milestone that they would come and grace us with their presence and give us a verbal update and allow the board to be able to ask any questions. You'll have the opportunity to see him or them at the next meeting.
Awesome. Other than that, I think we've got upcoming meetings.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on the last page of your packet is the upcoming MDC meetings. I just wanted to make note of the Meridian Chamber Economic Excellence Night at Breakfast, because that's traditionally what it is, but it is a lunch this time around. Apologies for that. On March 19th, the property parking committee, we've settled on the 3 p.m. time, so I'm going to update everybody's calendars with that. And then just to make note of the MDBA general meeting, and I apparently was asleep at the wheel. I apologize again. That is 8:30 a.m. and it is at the Compass VRT building for the remainder of the year. I must have been multitasking when I was doing this. I apologize.
And council report?
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman's report. I have nothing to report. Public comment.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, members of the board, this is Lindsay Boshar, who works for Tribute Media. She is the new president of the Meridian Downtown Business Association.
And then I think we can adjourn the meeting. All in favor? Is that an aye? Is that a roll call? Aye. No nays?
So moved.
So moved?
Had to say it.